Going to do something that I very rarely do. I'm going to attempt to make some introductory remarks and just leave it there. I hope I make it. It's just introductory. Would you turn with me to Proverbs? Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord.
Feel free to get more than that.
Well, this is Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. That is really, really heavy. Well, amen. Hebrews 13:9. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were thus occupied were not benefited. And the heart can be strengthened, but I really prefer a better translation, and that is that the heart can be established by grace. The heart is established by grace. 1 Thessalonians 3:13 bears this out too, brothers, that the heart can be established by grace. This is the same word. So that he may establish your hearts unblameably in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before your God. This is quite a thing the Lord has set out to do, to establish our hearts unblameably. Well, praise the Lord. 2 weeks ago, and 3 weeks ago, I began speaking to you about a series of things and how the Lord might deal with us. And the first thing that we discovered was in God's creation, he made man in three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Then man fell, and we saw the damage that had come into man's body. It became flesh. Man's soul became enlarged. Man's spirit became dead. We have not touched on that. The man got indwelt in his body by sin, and his body became flesh. Now then, after I become a Christian, I have to have my flesh dealt with. Thank you, brother. Now then, when I get converted, I have enough of the Lord Jesus Christ in me at my conversion for my flesh to be completely dealt with. And we touched on about two or three things. The sister was talking to me Thursday night and brought out one that I had not mentioned, thought of, nor mentioned before, that is also there. There are three or four things that may be actually actively in our lives at our conversion. A question was asked me about immorality. There may be active immorality. That's therefore in the body, which has become flesh. But what about the lust toward immorality? That's in the soul, because it's in the mind. But the active engagement of immorality has got to go at the time of conversion. Then active addiction has got to go. It's got to go. If it doesn't, you're going to be frustrated in your Christian growth. Now, sisters, brothers, some of us weren't told that when we first got converted. And we went on in active addiction. So you got to come back and start all over again. And this calls for a renewed heart. And I mentioned that, and a lot of brothers and sisters said, yeah, talk about that. But I said, no, later. But if you missed out on this when you first got converted, brother, and you didn't take care immediately of the things of the flesh, you're going to have to come back to a renewed heart. And I just said in passing, brothers, I would encourage you to come back at the beginning, be baptized, and drop the things of the world. How many of you got baptized? May I see your hand? Praise the Lord. then you must deal with the addictions that are in the flesh. You have enough of the Lord's life to do it. It is His grace that does it. You got it at conversion, and you can drop it. Now, there is also the work of the flesh and the soul. Not the work of the body and the soul, but the active work of sin that is in our soul. And we looked at Galatians 4, and we talked about a lot of this, and we moved from the flesh to the soul. Well, by the way, that thing the sister mentioned the other night was gluttony. That is also in the flesh. In the flesh. And it's got to go. Well, I don't want to get off too personally on this, but it is there. How do you break gluttony? I tell you two or three ways you don't do it. You don't do it by going on a diet.
Amen. I know that.
You're looking at a man who's lost over 1,000 pounds in his lifetime. My average weight from the time I was, I guess right after I was converted until about 1965 or 66, I guess it was, my average weight was around 200. I just lost an incredible amount of weight in my lifetime. And it's not done by going on a diet. I'm not going to say more about it than that, but it is something that the Lord can handle, the Lord can deal with. Praise the Lord. Now then, we talked about the soul. We spent quite a bit of time on the soul. One day we're going to come back to the human soul and take a look at it a little bit more. But I have the very distinct impression the Lord really touched us a great deal on this. But I'm just going to touch on it again for a moment and say to you, brothers and sisters. Well, maybe I just start to read it. It's just a lot easier to read out of the New Testament. Galatians 4. For the works of the flesh are. Now somebody tell me where I should be reading. Is it Galatians 5? 5, yeah. All right, for the works of, now the deeds, 19, 5, 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, that's of the body, impurity of the body, sensuality of the body, idolatry, all of the body, sorcery of the body, now then, all of the flesh in the body. Now then we come to the soul, brothers. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envies, you can cut out drunkenness and carousing. Those go back to the body. And these like, and things like these, of which I warn you before, and I warn you of those that practice, that those who continually do those things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So the Lord breaks the continual practice of this in our lives. If He doesn't, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I have no more comment about that than that. Except there's a difference between getting converted and inheriting the kingdom of God. You may not know how much, and someday when we have absolutely nothing else to do, I intend to talk about it. Because it's really not the most positive thing on earth to get involved in. Brothers and sisters, here's the thing I would like to tell you, that the Lord took the soul, the self of the soul, and put Him on the cross. I'd like to tell you the most wonderful news in the world. You do? Praise the Lord. The most wonderful news in the world is you do not have to criticize other people. You don't have to be critical. You don't have to be divisive. You don't have to, you understand what I mean? All of these things, you don't have to do it. The next time you come up and you're tempted to say something about a brother in the Lord, just let the Lord's Spirit speak to you, and He'll say to you, you don't have to say that. You can, but you don't have to. I don't have to do that. Have you ever felt you've had to? And if you just didn't, you're something inside of you just wasn't going to get satisfied. You know, if I get this out of me, I'm just going to have a sort of an unsatisfied feeling. You know of what I'm speaking, do you not?
Amen.
Then let the Lord speak to you and say, no, you don't have to say that. And I'll tell you, brothers, you'll go away for 2 or 3 minutes and you'll be very, very blue. I wanted to say that. And though I thought I would have probably helped that other brother or sister I was trying to do. that as you go away, about 10 minutes later, you're going to find out something. If you have a keen spirit, you will notice a strengthening in your spirit. You will notice yourself getting stronger in your spirit. Have you ever had that experience? The Lord was just sitting there tempting you, just looking at you, saying, go ahead and say it. If you can't say it just out loud and bold, you can twitch with the eyebrow. You can nod the head. You can, you know, but it's better just go ahead and say, I can't stand that guy, than to say, oh, he's nice. You know, yeah, he really, yeah, I'd say that. Yeah, he's nice. Tracy is nice, brother. It's better just go ahead and say, I can't stand him. There's a lie with a countenance. But to just let it completely go, about 10 minutes later, brother, you're in a sense a real growth in your spirit. Isn't it glorious? You don't have to criticize another brother. You don't have to be divisive. You don't have to be critical. The Lord has dealt with it. That's glorious. That's liberating. It's just marvelous. I don't have to be bitter. I don't have to. That's marvelous. Praise the Lord. Even if you're so, you're always right. You're always correct. It doesn't have to be said. We can go and live without it ever being uttered. Praise the Lord. Pretty soon, brothers, if you'll deny the soul enough, praise the Lord, brothers, you'll begin to see the Lord really taking a finished work in you. You will notice a succumbing, brothers, a final end of this work in you. We have to begin denying. We'll turn one day to the positive when we get to the spirit. There's the denial of the soul. There's turning to the spirit. But we haven't even gotten there. Then we stopped. I want to talk to brothers here who are ambitious like my brother here. We have to begin sometimes on something negative. By we saying the soul's enlarged, that's negative. And that we have to deny the soul, that's really negative. But you just hang around long enough, we must never stop there, brother. We must come to Christ. Who is. So whatever I say about the heart for the next 2 or 3 days, you just remember, we come to the end. And the end is Christ. So we came to Hebrews 4, and that's where just a whole lot of things got started. Hebrews 4 tells us that there is the dividing of the soul from the spirit, and this is something we must touch on more. But praise the Lord, there were a group of people on this earth who did not divide their soul from their spirit. The Lord looked in them and saw. He divided their soul from their spirit, and he saw that the intent was in their soul not to go on with the Lord. He saw it. And they didn't get to go in. And then the writer of Hebrews, whom I feel very strongly was Brother Barnabas. Nobody knows that, but who wrote it, but I just feel like it was Barnabas. Whoever wrote it, he said, there have come a group of people who walked up to the edge of the wilderness to go in. And the voice of the Lord is speaking one more time, you know. And if you don't harden your heart, you get to go in.
Amen.
All you have to do is believe the voice within you. There is a speaking within you. Don't harden your heart to it and go on in. Isn't that neat?
Yes.
And brothers, who is that group of people?
Us.
That's us. And who is the one speaking? Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you, and he's saying, go on in.
Amen.
Now, what is the land? And even more, it's going into our spirits, brother. Brother, you can get in your spirit, you can stay there. I just want to encourage you, despite all the negative things I might ever say about the soul, I just want you to know, brothers, you've got a heart for the Lord.
Amen.
Say,
amen.
Praise the Lord. And then we can go in. That's where we've come to now. And then, brothers, it is at this point we have to talk about the heart. And I've wanted to do this, I guess, ever since I've arrived here. As far as I recall, we have never touched on the heart. Never. Mentioned it a few times, but never dealt with it. Never dealt with the heart of man. And there are brothers and sisters here who really need this. You know all men who need it? All of us need it.
Brother Dane, can you put it in the heart?
Huh?
What you can put in the heart?
Okay, that's about all I'm going to get to tonight. I just want to tell you this. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters.
You've got a heart for the Lord.
You
got a heart for the Lord. Amen. And I'm just not going to say anything a whole lot negative, but I assume you're going in.
I just assume you're going to go in. You deal with the first, you deal with the second, you understand the third, you go in, brothers. All right, let me just say, the heart's not the body. Sure not the body. Where is it, the soul? It's kind of hard to say. Is it the spirit? It's kind of hard to say. I read all the verses that I know that anybody's ever quoted on the heart, and I'm just not ready to stand up here tonight and tell you that the soul and the heart are the same thing, or the spirit and the heart are the same thing. I can only tell you this. I'm going to give you a very simple definition of what the heart is. And don't forget it. The heart is the entrance and the exit of your whole being. That's what it is. It is the entrance of your being, and it is the exit of your being. All that will ever come into you will have to come into you through your heart. And all that ever comes out of you will come out through your heart. And brothers and sisters, your heart eventually is going to tattle on you. It is going to tattle on you. What did we read in Proverbs 4, was it 13? 4:23, it was that the heart, I'd like to read it again, because that's really all that we're going to get tonight. 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Our brothers, watch over your heart with all diligence. So for the next few days, I do not know exactly how long. For those of you who might be visitors here, next weekend, beginning Thursday night, Friday night, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday night. We're going to rest Sunday morning. No meeting. We're going to meet Wednesday night right here. Wednesday, Thursday night. Okay, you got it. Brothers and sisters, we are going to talk about the heart. If we get a chance, we're going to talk about the spirit. But brothers, the heart must be watched with all diligence, because it allows everything in, and eventually what in you will come out. The heart must be watched. It is the exit and the entrance of your whole being. I just am going to say a quick word to you. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Dean, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is so simple. Just spend enough time with a brother and you'll know what's in his heart. What do you talk about? What are you talking about? Every one of them are kind of curious people. See, I've been running around here for years knowing this. Maybe you didn't know this, but I've been listening to you talk. But the Larry has been too. But I'm going to just talk to you a minute just to say, I listen to you talk. I really do. I challenge your brother. Listen to me talk. Listen to me talk. Publicly and privately. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You may know what's really within you of the heart. So we're going to learn how to deal with the heart so that the right things come in and the right things go out. We're going to learn to purge the heart, brother, of whatever might be in there to get out what the world won't pass. So I come to a brother and I begin to listen to them speak. And you know, in the beginning, it's very easy for us to just talk. We talk about lots of things, and eventually we talk about the Lord. Then one day, brother, and Aurora, if you're just careful, it'll come. The real thing in the heart comes out. You know why, John, it takes you to be 39 years old? Sometimes it takes 39 years for the Lord to deal with the heart. And then finally, brother, there's just not anything wrecked in there, but one or two things. Either your destruction or your Lord. And they're just no longer anything. I tell you, brother, I can tell you what has been in my heart. My Lord has been in my heart. But I can tell you something else that's been in my heart, and that's my desire to serve my Lord. You know, to be a king
in the kingdom of God, to be somebody, to do something, to serve my Lord. Brothers and sisters,
out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What do you speak about? You spend some time with their brother, and you begin to hear him saying, I. What's in his heart?
What's in his heart? He has allowed himself into his heart. Do you see?
He's allowed himself. What comes out of his heart?
I.
If you allow Brother Al Hafner's theology in, theology will come out.
As sisters are very interesting to listen to.
Sisters can just talk about lots of things, but you're real careful. When they finally got you into their confidence, they'll say that little thing they wanted to say, kind of from the back door, you know. By the way, Gene, have you ever noticed so-and-so or such and such? And then out of the heart, the mouth speaks. I never put anybody under the pile tonight. I really don't ever put in, I'm not here to put you in the pile, but I'll put you there if necessary. But praise the Lord, I have a Lord who's just gotten you out. And I'm going to stand with my Lord before it's over with. Brothers,
guard your heart with all diligence, because what you let go in is what comes out. There are so many verses of scripture on the heart. Did you know there are more scriptures on the heart than the body and the soul and the spirit put together? The Lord is very, very interested in your heart.
Well, I'm just going to give you a little introduction. The best book to study to understand the heart, the book of Matthew. And you need a little bit from Ezekiel, need a little bit from Jeremiah, but you got to have the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew starts out saying, speaking of the pure in heart. The pure in heart, what do they get?
They get to see God.
The pure in heart see God. We're going to find out how to see God from the pure in heart. Then I think it is in Matthew 6, another mention of the heart. What is it, Matthew 6? Matthew 6, that's where your treasure is. Your treasure is in your heart. What do you treasure, brother? What's there? What's in your heart? Whatever grows into your heart will become your treasure.
I'd say I've seen many folks with many treasures. I get to know folks sometimes, and I get the sense the only thing they treasure is just running somebody else down.
That's a funny thing to treasure. Another one is just to talk about themselves. Another one is their ambitions and goals in life.
Brother, you know, we cannot tell sometimes what it is we have let in our heart. Do you know?
I would like for you to read one verse of scripture with me. It is Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17:9. Somebody just read it to us. Jeremiah, aye, brother.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Yeah. Wow. Sometimes we honestly don't know what's in it. As far as that goes, I would say, brothers, generally, we don't know what's in our heart. It is so wicked and it is so desperate at the time of conversion, we don't know.
That's kind of frightening, isn't it? That's really frightening. Now, brothers, I'm going to throw you the same thing about the heart that I said about spirit. Here I am, a flesh, here I am, a soul, and here I am, a spirit. But the blood spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes into my spirit. He lives in there. I have his life. But if I'm not careful, I don't realize I have his life. And I keep on living by my life and the soul. Do you understand?
Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ does things with the heart, but if I'm not careful, I may never know
the deep motives of my heart, the deep wellspring motives of my heart.
Therefore, I really need to do a little digging in my heart. But the motives that might have gotten in there previous to my conversion, and at the time of my conversion, and maybe through a religious system, that those things be purged out. that the Lord may start all over again. Brothers, I'm not going to say more than that, except I can tell you one thing. It's in the heart where the treasure is. I don't care what your treasure has been. I don't know what it is, and I don't care, but I can tell you this, brother. Whatever goes into the heart is going to come out of the heart. So we shall learn to deal with this desperately wicked heart and let the Lord deal with it and renew it and purge it, cleanse it, and then pray to the Lord. A new treasure to go in. Brother, what are you treasure? What are you treasure? Well, there's just so much to say about the treasure. Wow. And we will. But anyhow, brother, do you know what your treasure must be? You know, what is it? The Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, if you'll just keep on putting the treasure in your heart, I'll tell you one thing. It'll take a while, but one of these days, it's going to start coming out.
There is order. How many of you have ever primed the pump? May I see your hand? A water pump. Okay. You just keep on pouring water in. And you pump and nothing happens. Absolutely nothing. And you just keep pouring water in. And pretty soon, it goes like that, right? And then it goes. And it just starts splashing out.
Praise the Lord. The Lord God can deal with our heart. It doesn't matter what's been in there before. The Lord can give her a new treasure. And then out of the heart, the mouth will speak. Praise the Lord, brothers. Isn't that neat? Praise the Lord. How are you? I stand up. Praise the Lord.